Now we move along a couple of years to the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we see that the boys have grown older and their daddy's grown older. And Isaac is at the point of death and he's almost blind. He can hardly see. And it's time for him to pronounce the blessing upon the firstborn. So he calls Esau in. And he said, Esau, you know how I love venison stew. I want you to go out here and kill me a deer. You kill that deer. You dress it up, make some venison stew, bring it in, and we'll have a great meal together. And at that point in time, I will pronounce the blessing upon you. Well, Rebecca hears this, and she runs over to Jacob. I know how we can get not only the birthright. You've already got that. We'll get the blessing as well. How are we going to do that, Mama? Oh, don't worry about it. I've got it all figured out. Your brother Esau has gone to kill a deer to make some venison stew to take it into your daddy. While he's out there trying to find that deer and make the venison stew, I'm going to dress you up like your twin brother. We'll get one of his old togas. It stinks, and you can put it on. And when you walk into your daddy, he is just about blind. He'll just smell, and he'll think it's Esau. We'll get some animal skin. We'll put it on your arm because he's very hairy, and you don't have any hair. We'll put it on your arm, and if he feels your arm, he'll think you're Esau. And by the way, don't worry about the venison stew. I taught him how to make venison stew. Listen, I've got enough in the freezer. We'll take it out, put it in the microwave, and you'll take the venison stew in. You'll have a great meal with your daddy, and you'll get the blessing pronounced upon you. And so they moved ahead to do that, and that's exactly what they did. Well, Esau comes walking in with the venison stew just after Jacob has left, having received the blessing from his daddy. Now, let's look on the conversation. Chapter 27 of the book of Genesis gives us the conversation that was going on when Esau walks in, verse 38. And Esau walked in and saw his father, and he said, Father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father, bless me. And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. Now, you exegete that. He threw a temper tantrum, basically. He was very upset about the situation. Well, Isaac condescended, and he said, okay, I'm going to give you a blessing. Look at verse 40. By the sword shall thy live, and shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob, because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. He'll die. We'll mourn for the 7-day period of time, the Sheva, pronounce Sheva upon him. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. The next verse tells us that Rebekah realized that this was going to happen. She had a brother who lived up in what we know as modern-day Turkey, a place called Haran. And so she says to Jacob, you better get out of town for a couple of months. Your brother is so upset with what we have done, he's going to try to kill you. And so Jacob takes his possession. He goes north to stay with his uncle for a number of years. Now, you know the story. He gets up there. He's getting ready to water his animals one day. And this very good-looking young lady comes walking up. Boy, he falls in love immediately with her. He wants to marry her, and he has manipulated like he's been manipulating everybody else. She had a sister, not quite as good-looking. In fact, rather ugly. In fact, she was so ugly, they called her Ugly, and she would take ugly pills every morning when she got up. She was something else, man. But he ended up marrying her, and then he ended up marrying the beautiful one, so he had a couple of wives, and it's time for him to go back to the promised land to be with his family once again. His father-in-law gives him a bunch of spotted cows, and they take off going back to Israel. Now we come to the 36th chapter of the book of Genesis. All of this is contained within those pages and those verses that I did not read. Of course, I read between the lines in some of the description of what went on, but that is the case with any Bible teacher. You have to be able to understand and exegete the Word of God and explain it to the people. Anyway, we come to chapter 36 of the book of Genesis, and we see what's going to happen. In chapter 32 of Genesis, Jacob, on his way back into the promised land, in fact, he's over across on the eastern shore of the Jordan River, at the Jabbok River, and there he has a wrestling match all night with Jesus Christ. And before the night is over, he said, I want you to be something special to me. Well, at that point in time, Jesus Christ touched the thigh of Jacob and would make him limp for the rest of his life. Why did he touch the thigh? because that is the strongest muscle in anybody's body. Your thigh muscle is 10 times stronger than any muscle in your body. And so because of conniving Jacob, Jesus touched the thigh of Jacob and would have him lame for the rest of his life. But he also changed his name. Of this conniver, he changed it from Jacob to Israel, which means, I will fight for you. And he then was able to work with Jacob from that point on in his life. He comes back into the land. He crosses over the Jordan River. He comes into where Esau is living. When he arrives there, there's some things that happen. The Lord is going to have to separate these boys, and we're going to see why. But first, let's notice in verse 1 of chapter 36 that Esau has his name changed as well. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Esau's name is going to be Edom. Now, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. And so when you read throughout the Word of God, if you read about Esau, you may read about Edom. And that's either, when it uses the word Edom, it's either the city, the area, geographical area, the southern portion of modern-day Jordan, that he's going to be living in, or it's talking about Esau himself. Now notice what happens here as we look at the story unfolding. Look at verse 6. Of chapter 36. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and his beast and his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan, and he went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. He's going to have to leave that area and go someplace else. Now, God is going to make a decision at this point in time, and through sovereign selection, he is going to allow Jacob to stay in the promised land. Look across at chapter 37 and verse 1. Chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. That is exactly where Jacob is going to be able to stay. Canaan is modern day Israel. So God gives Jacob Israel at this point in time. I know this is a bit of a history lesson, but just hang in there with me. I'll try to make it exciting. We've got to get the history before we can come to the prophecy. Now, why are they going to have to split? Go back to chapter 36. Verse 7 says, here's the reason they'd have to split. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Both men had become so prosperous, they were not going to be allowed to stay in the same land, and the land could not take care of them with their children, with their men servants and their women servants, with all of their cattle. They were going to have to separate. And so Jacob gets the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, and God is going to send Esau to another location. Notice where he goes, verse 8. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Now, as we reflect back on Ezekiel chapter 35, that judgment was pronounced upon Mount Seir. Mount Seir is defined as the land which Esau went to live in. It's the lower third of modern-day Jordan. If you have a map in the back of your Bible, you look at the location where the Dead Sea is, the southern end of the Dead Sea, and put your finger there and go down to the Red Sea, and everything between the southern end of the Dead Sea to the Red Sea is Edom on the east side of the Jordan Valley. That is the location that God gave to Esau. He went to his headquarters. You know where his headquarters was? His headquarters was in a city called Petra. Petra is the most unique city in all of the world. It was just voted as one of the seven wonders of the world. It is now a location that all of the world was going to want to visit because it is one of the seven wonders. I've been there probably over 100 times. It is a unique city. It is an impregnable city. It is made of sandstone, and the sandstone has the colors of the rainbow. And as the sun moves across the sky, these colors, as you are watching them, will change. It's just amazingly beautiful. It's called the Rose Red City. That's where God sent Esau to live, into Mount Seir changed the name of the mountain range to Edom, the mountains of Edom, made the location called Edom. And when you read about it in the Bible, that's where he went to live, headquartered in a city called Petra. Now, that's a bit of background. Just before we leave chapter 36, look at verse 12 with me and make note of this. Just keep all these things in mind because I'm building to a certain point. Look at verse 12. And Timnah was a concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. Underline Amalek. And these are the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. The grandson of Esau is Amalek.